One of the things that we have focused on and will continue to focus on moving forward is really this process of that we went through over the last couple of years to define really who we are as a church. There are so many wonderful churches in our community. But who are we? What has God called us to do as First Baptist Church Corpus Christi? We have a long heritage, as you know. In 2028, we will celebrate how many? 150 years as a church here in Corpus Christi. That's a wonderful heritage. And we have the privilege as believers today to stand on the ground and truly on the shoulders of those who have gone before us to make this possible. Think of all the lives that have been impacted, all of the salvations, all of the baptisms, all of the missionaries, all of the pastors that have come through this congregation. And so it's so important for us moving forward, not to rest on that, but to see and seek what God has for us moving forward. And so what we've been doing over the last couple of years is really trying to define what that looks like, what it is. And really what we've come back to is, many of you have said and shared with me before, this vision that we have for making moments and growing is really just a call to be who we should be anyway, right? Get back to the basics of things. Understand who we are as believers and how we should live our lives each and every day. In a word, discipleship. In a word, discipleship. Our church is known for making disciples. That doesn't need to change. In fact, it needs to become stronger. As we've said, our vision for 2028 is to be the church in town that everybody knows. That's the place you go. If you want to grow in your faith, that's the place you go. And so it's about this idea of discipleship. All of us, if we are professed believers in Jesus Christ, if we would say to someone else, Jesus is my Savior and Lord, then we should all be doing our best each and every day to grow closer to Him, right? And we do a good job of that sometimes, don't we? I mean, don't be bragging, but be honest. I mean, you read your Bibles. You're here today. You come to church. We do a good job of following Jesus sometimes. But then there's the other times, right? We don't want to talk about the other times. But there are other times when we maybe aren't as close to Jesus. And by the way, on a side note, if we feel distant from Him, He didn't move. We moved. We took our eyes off Him. We lost our focus. And so sometimes we do a good job of following Him, but there are other times when we could do better. The thing that I want us to focus on in 2024 is for the sometimes to be more frequent than the other times. Follow Him a little more this year than you have. In fact, the way I look at it for myself and what I write down for myself is, will I be closer to being like Jesus in December of 2024 than I am today? Am I going to grow in my faith moving forward in this year? And if so, how am I going to do that? We have to put ourselves in a position of doing that. And so this series that we're starting today that will carry us through this month is going to be talking about how we grow, what our focus should be. And I want to read a quote. It's a little lengthy, not too bad. Many of you know that I have several people that I have looked up to in theologians and critical thinkers, philosophical thinkers, Christian thinkers, and some of those have formed my understanding of faith and who I am. Thomas Merton, St. John of the Cross, Meister Eckhart, Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, some of those that you've heard me mention in the past. Dallas Willard is one of the foremost thinkers about discipleship, and so you're going to hear me reference him quite a bit through this series, I'm sure. But listen to this quote, because it's at once somewhat condemning, but at the same time, liberating. Jesus told us explicitly what to do. We have a manual. Just like the car owner, He told us as disciples to make disciples. Not converts to Christianity, nor to some particular faith and practice. He did not tell us to arrange for people to get in or make the cut after they die, nor to eliminate the various brutal forms of injustice, nor to produce and maintain successful churches. These are all good things, and he had something to say about all of them. They will certainly happen if, but only if, we are and do what he told us to be and do. If we just do this, it will little matter what else we do or do not do. Now, I don't agree with that 100%, but hear what he's saying. We have to get back to the basics. We can't give something we don't have. If we are not focusing on our own spiritual development, our own growth, none of those other things will happen. But when we put him first, when we seek to follow him above all else, all of those other things he will lead us to do. But we've got to start by looking at us, by examining ourselves. If you read my blog, I posted this past week. And so for 2024, I gave us three somewhat, I wouldn't say a formula, don't put that tag on it, but an idea of how to help us move forward in this new year. Six words to help us move forward. You ready? Look in, look up, and look out. Look in. How is it with your soul? Examine yourself. Look up. Look to God for directions. Look to God for clarity. Look to God for courage. And then look out. Look out towards others. You don't exist for yourself. The greatest commandment that Jesus outlined for us is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. What? Love your neighbors as yourselves. See, we weren't saved for ourselves. This isn't about us. We don't exist for ourselves. So we look in to examine ourselves, to see how it is with our soul. We look up to him for direction and clarity, and we look out to see how he wants us to serve, how he wants us to reach out. What impact will you make this year? Will you be more like Jesus on December 31st, 2024 than you are today? What impact will this church make in 2024? Just as we don't exist for ourselves, the church does not exist for us. The church exists for him and to make a difference in this world, reaching others for him. So it starts, really, as I said, with looking inward. Looking inward. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and we're going to camp out in this verse today. Let me turn the page. Examine yourselves. 13:5, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Examine yourselves. The preceding verses before this, in verses 1 through 4, we find that the church at Corinth was accusing Paul, maybe not truly wanting to follow Paul. And so Paul turns the tables and he says, why don't you look at yourselves? You've heard the old expression, when you're pointing a finger at someone, you've got three or four pointing back at you. Three if you have fingers like me. Examine yourself. It's always easier to point fingers at someone else, to examine someone else, right? That's why Jesus gave us the parable to remove the log from our own eye before we try to attempt to help our neighbor remove the splinter from theirs. Examine yourself. He calls us to do this emphatically. Socrates, a Greek philosopher, said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." Now, I don't make a habit of necessarily patterning my life around ancient classical Greek theologians or philosophical thinkers, but I think he's onto something. The unexamined life is not worth living. If we don't take the responsibility to examine ourselves, to set a course for our lives, then someone else will do it for us. We need to take responsibility, to examine ourselves, to own that responsibility. If we don't, we're just going to move back and forth with every whim, every thought, and not make any impact, no fulfillment. So Paul tells us to examine ourselves. This is up to you. Only you can examine you. Only you know your heart. Only you and God know your heart. Only you can examine yourself. This is your responsibility. Three times in this verse, Paul makes a point to say, this is your responsibility. Examine yourself. It's emphatic. You can't delegate this to someone else. This isn't your parents' faith. This has to be your faith. Examine yourself. John Wesley is known for saying, how is it with your soul? Examine yourself. How is it with your soul? This isn't about an adherence to a doctrine. It's a look at the vitality of your faith. Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you are what? In the faith. See, we can act like we're in their faith. I just had a comical conversation as we were greeting people coming in this morning about how we have the nature to drive on the way to church, taking swings at our children in the back and yelling and making idle threats. And then as soon as we open the door, the face changes and we're, right? We need to make sure that our faith is real. Examine ourselves. Take some time to look inward. Do you have a growing relationship with Jesus? Is faith a primary part of your life? Or is it just something you do on Sunday? Does your faith affect the decisions you make, the way that you live? If any of those answers are less than you want them to be, what are you going to change in 2024 to grow? You've heard me use the illustration before. We live here on the coast. Again, back to Dallas Willard, this was his thought, not mine, but he talked about how we grow in our faith, and the fact that if we wanted to learn to sail, which growing up on the beach in West Texas, I didn't learn to sail. It's a beach. There's just no water. And so coming here, it's been a very interesting. I was back in Lubbock this past week for a meeting, and someone said, that they were introducing me to someone else, and he said, you know, he can look out his office and see boats. Blows people's minds in West Texas, I'll just tell you. But if you want to learn to sail, you've got to understand the mechanics, right? I mean, I don't sail. I know there are people in this church that are very accomplished at that. But you need to learn the mechanics, how to utilize the wind to go the direction you want to go. You've got to know all of those things. But if there's no wind, you're not going to make much progress. And that's how it is with spiritual growth. We've got to do our part. We've got to put disciplines, practices in place, time in God's Word, moments in prayer, moments in community, moments making disciples, all of these things. We've got to put those things in place. God gives the growth. God gives the transformation and change. But He can't do that if we're not making ourselves available. And so what are you going to do in 2024 to grow? It starts with examining yourself. Don't look at someone else. Look at yourself. Paul says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Only you can examine your faith. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. What does it mean to be in the faith? He commands us to do this, to examine ourselves. Being in the faith means living by faith. Are we living by faith? Are we trusting in God? Or are we trusting in ourselves? Are we trusting in our own abilities? Are we trusting in someone else? trust God. Living by faith, living in faith, means that we are trusting God, that we are following Jesus daily. Are we committed every single day to make time, make moments with Jesus, in His Word, praying, meditating on what He teaches us? Paul says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. See if you pass the test. Remember, Jesus is in you unless, he says, what? You fail the test. The more literal word there is reprobate. Think about that for a minute. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith or are you a reprobate. Now, I don't know about you. That's not a word we use much anymore, but growing up, I did not want to be considered a reprobate. That was a negative thing. And that's what Paul is saying here. Are you in the faith? Are you following Jesus? Are you living by trusting God with everything? How is it with your soul? We have to examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. We have to spend time with Jesus, taking care of what He has called us to. Jesus did this. Jesus took time. Mark 1:35 says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, He went out away from the house to spend time in prayer. If Jesus, who we just finished the Christmas season, right? And we did a whole series on the incarnation. And if you remember, the incarnation, Jesus was fully what? Human and God. Fully human, fully God. If Jesus, the very Son of the only true God, felt it important to get away and spend time with the Father, how much more should I and should you take time to spend with Jesus? Make sure that you are in the faith. Make sure that the condition of your soul is as it should be. You see, as our relationship with Jesus grows, our relationship and how we work with others is benefited. We can't give what we don't have. We already said that. Always remember, though, that our growth is not about ourselves. It's about serving Him. Are you in the faith? Or are you a poser or just playing church? Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Remember, if you're a believer, Jesus is in you. Unless, of course, you're not a believer. Examine yourself. Your life should reflect your faith. Your life should reflect your faith. Examine yourself. Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your Lord? I say this a lot, I know. We don't have a problem with Him being our Savior, of saving us from our sin, of making sure that we have fire insurance, that we're not going to hell when we die, but rather going to heaven. We don't have a problem with that. Where we struggle is making Him our Lord. Is He your Lord? Sometimes when we are asked these kind of questions, is Jesus your Savior? Is He your Lord? We get defensive, right? You don't have a right to ask me that. It's natural to try and justify. It's natural to compare. There are always people around us that are stronger in their faith, and there are always people around us that are weaker in their faith. And so it's natural for us to say, well, I may not be the best. I would never say I'm perfect, but I'm better than that guy. That's natural, isn't it? Just me. We do that. But Paul is telling us, commanding us, emphatically telling us that we need to examine not our neighbor, but who? Ourselves. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to examine someone else and say, well, man, I can't believe they did that, or look at what he's wearing or what she's wearing, or all of those things. But Paul says, examine yourself. Examine yourself. The only person that you can manage is you. Are you in the faith? Paul tells us, never forget that Jesus is in you. If you are a believer, Jesus is in you. There is nowhere you can go that he is not already there. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, there's one God and one Father who is over all and in all and through all. There's nowhere you can go that he is not with you. And as a believer, he is in us if we pass the test. Is he our Savior? Is he your Lord? If he is, then examine yourself and make sure your focus is what it should be. Paul also says in Philippians 4, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. What he's saying is, make sure your mind is in the right place. You see, we can't control much in our world. Have you figured that out yet? I mean, we can get really upset about things. We can wish things were different, and there are things that we can do to make a difference, but we can't control other people. We can't control much. But we are responsible to control ourselves, our thoughts, our actions. Now, in our environment, we have a problem with that too. We don't want to take responsibility. We'd rather point the finger at someone else. It was their fault. I could never do that. That wasn't my fault. Paul reminds us, examine yourself. Don't examine someone else. Take responsibility and make sure that your thoughts are where they should be. Make sure that you are in the faith. Focus on the good. Focus on him. Paul is expressing in this passage in Philippians 4 the idea of creating a habit of thoughts. What are you thinking about? How are you in the faith? Are you spending time with him? Moments in his word, moments in prayer. We need to make sure our faith is real. Will we pass the test? Our focus should always be on Jesus. Make time to examine your faith daily. As I said, through this series, we're going to look at looking in. How is it with our soul? Examining ourselves and looking up. Next week, we'll talk about looking up, the importance of thinking about God, of spending time with him. But all of that is moving us to look out. We don't exist for ourselves. If you're looking for a club to be a part of, a church is not that. We are a family walking through this life together, learning what it means to follow Jesus and making disciples along the way. That's what a church should be. So my challenge for us as we close today, as we look toward the next few weeks of this series, is start this new year with a commitment to look inward and examine your faith daily. Will you pass the test? Are you in the faith? Only you can examine you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word and the way that it reminds us of our responsibility, the way that it reminds us that you are Lord and we are not. I pray that you would help us to truly examine ourselves, not to look to someone else, not to compare ourselves with someone else, but truly look at ourselves to see, are we living in the faith? Are we following you as we should? I can't think of a better time than the beginning of a new year. It's just another day. I understand that. But Father, as we look toward the next 12 months, we do so with anticipation, maybe even excitement about the changes this new year will bring. I ask that you would help us make following you a priority, that we would look and maybe even write on our calendar, December 31st, 2024, I will be closer to Jesus on that day than I am today. and then help us put things in place to see you make that kind of transformation in us. Give us the courage, Jesus, to truly examine ourselves, to be real with you, to be honest with you, and then give us the desire and courage to step into making a difference. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.